everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up, your source for conservative talk. So before we start the show, obviously we're all aware of the tragedy that happened in D.C. with the airliner and the Hilo colliding, and our thoughts and prayers are with the families there. We've all flown. I actually know a couple of Black Hawk pilots, have known some that are retired now, and these people serve, and what I do know is the people who are Black Hawk pilots or pilots of Helos in the military, they're some of the most proudest people because a lot of them are enlisted, warrant officers, you know. So they take pride in being able to do what they do. It's the mark of the enlistee fully making it. So our thoughts are with them and the families. I can't even think how it was or how for the families who were at the waiting for them at those, it's not duels, it's Reagan Airport now, and just hoping beyond hope that there were survivors, and you saw that and you're like, oh God, no. And then there was another plane crash tonight in Philly with I want to say about six individuals who passed on the plane. I don't know about casualties by the mall, which is what I heard, but that's still coming in. So it's not a good Friday. So our thoughts and our prayers are with them. And in a tough time for all of America, though, we're still going to go on with the show because at the end of the day, it's sad. We all still think of other things that go on in our lives because we were not directly impacted. And we're here to talk about some of those things that are still happening because life does continue. And we're going to talk today about the DC collision here. It's too early to tell what exactly happened, and there's a lot of things going out there, and we're just going to talk about what is out there, what's happening. I have no clue. We're not going to have any clue until the black box. It's a lot of what we're hearing in the media. And then from there, we're going to talk about the comedy show of Senate hearings. The Democrats trade their brains for sound bites, and that was, excuse my French, a shit show. We're going to talk about Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel, and our producer, Big John's favorite would-be politician, RFK Jr. You know, so it was a throwdown from both sides, and we're going to talk about that. I actually watched every minute of all four. I said four because Kennedy was 2 days worth of hearings. And then we're going to close it out with a topic not many people may realize is happening, and that is Hotel Gitmo. It's kind of Twilight Zone-ish if you think about it. You cross the border, you're thinking you're in Texas, you open your eyes and you're in Guantanamo Bay as Trump is authorizing through executive order the ability to have up to 30,000 illegal aliens housed at Gitmo. We're going to talk about the hypocrisy that I'm already seeing because guess what? Everybody's favorite cigar chomping, I'm not going to say the actual part that I was just going to say of what he did with that cigar. Bill Clinton authorized, I want to say about 18,000, but I can't quite remember. It's in my notes. And we'll talk about that too. So with that, let me welcome my good friend and fellow co-host, Mr. G. Mangani, who has been missing in action for the last few weeks. G, how are you doing?
Good. I'm glad to be back. And I do want to know which end of the cigar. Never mind. We don't need to go into the details.
I did not know the details about that until recently. I just never bothered to look. And I was, holy mackerel, Sailor Bill. That's Sailor-esque, you know. So y'all wondering, go look it up yourself. We're not going to.
I know. Just for the record, when I drink bourbon, I put the mouth side of the cigar in the bourbon. So that's the way to do it.
Yeah, he did that differently. All right. So before we get into it, G, your quick thoughts on we'll talk about the D.C. collision here, but your quick thoughts on the Senate hearings and Gitmo Hotel Gitmo.
Well, the Senate hearings, I mean, obviously no one came in there thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to vote on these people. Everyone came in with their agenda. They walked away with their agenda. It was all for sound bites on the media and the news. And as far as Gitmo, well, when we get there, we'll get into that. I think I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Hotel, you know, the reason I joke about it, I was on a spook ship. On paper, we were stationed at a Key West, but I spent a lot of time in Guantanamo Bay there. It's actually a big, beautiful base. People think it's just a small little area, and it's small, relatively speaking, compared to the island and all, but it's pretty nice size and all. It's nothing like the average person thinks, and again, we'll talk about it more. So, let's talk about the altitude of grief, where wings met sorrow. The collision in Washington, D.C. is how I title it. And in the early evening of January 29th, which was 2 days ago now, a catastrophic meteor collision occurred over the Potomac River near Washington, D.C., involving an American Airlines passenger jet and a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter. The incident claimed 67 individual lives aboard both aircraft. It's obviously shocked the nation, but it's also finally raised critical questions about aviation safety, particularly in one of the most regulated airspaces in the world. So I've always known how crowded DC is. I've always known these issues. I was aware of the Times article last year that came out with the close misses. It's not the first article over the years. Ever since I understood what air traffic controllers were from Reagan when he whacked them when they tried to strike, that has been a perpetually understaffed industry that has a lot of high turnover because it's extremely stressful and it's always undermanned. And then you add in DEI, and I'm not saying this was DEI, but there's a DEI issue in this industry at the moment, and you combine that with man and DEI. You know, this is what irks me about Democrats. Oh, you don't like blacks. It's nothing to do with blacks. It's what DEI means. It means you're going for underqualified people regardless of somebody else's better qualifications. I don't care if it's black, white, Asian, Indian, or whatnot. If they're qualified, God bless them, put them on the job because it's an understaffed industry. So let's take a look at what we know so far and some of the prevailing theories with the ongoing investigations and what are the broader implications for air traffic management that will come about. So, G, circumstances of the collision, your thoughts on that before we go forward.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the jet was coming on approach to runway 33 when the collision occurred. It was, what, 8:53 p.m. Eastern time. And but then the helicopter was also coming in, and it was doing a routine training flight from Virginia as part of its continuity of government missions, which is interesting. I mean, I don't know if we have time to go into that detail, but I find that interesting that it would cross the pathway of landing airplanes. And so I guess the helicopter was flying in a standard flight pattern when this happened. But I believe the helicopter, William, if this is correct, was 100 feet higher than it should have been. Is that what you were seeing in the news?
Yes, the altitude was high. So for those out there who don't understand, I get to talk about my military experience here. Well, I was never a Hilo Black Hawk pilot, but I'm aware of what continuity of government means, or one aspect of it. So in a real situation, if they got to evacuate or shit happens, you know, think of the movie. When they get Mr. President, we got to go. Sometimes they don't go underneath. They have to fly him out. And some of these, I'm not 100% sure if this was this case, but they fly like that. It's kind of like live fire. In the military, you eventually go through live fire if you're a Marine or a Spec Ops, you know, because you have to simulate that. And that is what is likely here. That's why they perform those there, because the air base is near, so they take advantage of that for evacuation type training. Now, these were experienced pilots. We do know the identity of two of them. The third one is very strange now, and I'm not saying strange in a bad way, but it's very strange that they're not releasing the name of the female. And obviously the internet's rampant. But gee, you are correct. They were flying way too high. Then there's also the issue of night vision goggles. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's speculation that the helicopter pilot was wearing night vision goggles, and I've heard other podcasts that verify that fact through what's come out. And there was this military pilot, and I saw him talking about when you wear that, there's just so much information coming at you. I mean, the place lights up like Christmas Wonderland, right? A candy cane lane. And so I mean, there's an idea that the planes that are coming in and going, it just blends into the background. So what I thought was interesting is the staffing at the air traffic control along with the night vision goggles, the staffers, the guy who was like guiding this helicopter was, he seemed like a neophyte. Because he said, hey, do you see the plane? I know there's not one plane in the air, right? So he's telling the helicopter guys, do you see the plane? And now all of a sudden, there's a fixation, right? If they see a plane, and they're most likely going to look towards the runway, and they see a plane taking off, and we see that in the camera footage, there was a plane taking off. Maybe they're fixated on that, and they're not looking at another plane. So what a helicopter pilot, and correct me if I'm wrong, William, a helicopter pilot needs to know where to look for the plane. You know, look at, do you see a plane at 10 o'clock as you're flying? Or do you see a plane at 2 o'clock? Because at 10 o'clock, they're going to see the arriving plane. At 2 o'clock, they're going to see the departing plane. But this air traffic guy did not give any information of where to look, what bearing to look. And then the second thing he said was, get behind the plane. Now, what does that mean? I mean, what kind of direction is that? What does behind the plane mean? Like, I'm already behind the departing plane. So maybe there's confusion. And after that command, there was only, 10 seconds before the collision occurred? So I just think it was a circumstance of, what do you call it, when you have all these little factors that build up into a tragedy, right? I can't remember the term, but it's just a series of little small errors that lead to a big catastrophe.
Right, right. Is that Oxum or O's? I can't remember. Big John, a producer, can probably tell us. So in regards to the night vision goggles, I always forget. Most Americans have no clue how they work. All they see is in the movies, you know. Hey, boss, I got him 2 miles away with my super-duper night vision goggles. You know, they have no clue. That's all they see.
But and they're the thing with the little camera correct. Like this, right? Yeah, it's like looking through a soda straw.
There's various versions, and they can be quite pricey. And I've had to use them for work in the military. And the problem is, in a place like that, you know, and everybody knows by now, enough analysts have said it, but it's true. We have all these lights everywhere. It's it's too much light. You know, so if they were wearing night goggle vision glasses, people are asking why. And going to your point and to the air traffic controller, see, that's why we have to wait for the investigation. Maybe he had been talking to the Hilo already. Maybe he knew the guy. Maybe it was a panic, like, oh, shit, do you see the plane? We don't know. So I don't want to condemn the guy or say, oh, it wasn't his fault. We just don't know. But this is when I talk about all these other political things, whether it's voter fraud, J6 or whatnot. That's a red flag. And the investigators need to investigate that. And hopefully we can get out of that. Now, shifting over to the DEI, I had no clue there was DEI involved here. You know, and that will play out. But I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. But when I will jump on the bandwagon, they were understaffed and they let somebody leave early. Barring a family emergency, that's another red flag. That came out just today. We are filming this on Friday, January 31st. And that came out earlier today, people, that somebody left early. Now, that may not sound like a big thing. And normally it isn't until the shit hits the fan. Thoughts, G?
I think just air traffic control is understaffed in general. So letting someone go early, and I believe what I heard is that helicopters or military, I can't remember which one it was, talks to one air traffic controller person while passenger jets talk to another, right? So now this person was left talking to both. And then I also heard that they were on different frequencies, meaning the helicopter and the air traffic control were on different frequencies. So maybe the air traffic person was telling the helicopter, look for the plane. Do you see it? And get behind it. And the helicopter possibly never even heard it because they're on a different frequency. And it is a, like you said, it's a very stressful job. A million things going through your mind. I mean, just even hosting a show like this, a million things go through your mind. You're trying to talk and you're trying to say something and you forget to switch the dial and push the button or whatnot, right? It could happen.
Yeah, you're right, because I do marketing also, so I have a promo for the show when we start. Hey, we're live on certain social media, and after the show, I look, oh, I never hit set. Real quick on the DEI, again, we're not saying anything DEI, but this is an industry that has had issues since DEI was implemented, including a lawsuit of over 100 qualified individuals that is ongoing right now who were denied, including somebody who scored a perfect 100 on the test, supposedly because they were the wrong skin color. So we have a lot of work to do with this industry because these issues aren't DEI. They're more understaffed and how qualified are these individuals. Now, people don't realize that a few years ago, and Big John probably has more info on this memory-wise than we do, but there was a helicopter accident, you know, in New York, and they've been throughout the years. And what, and that now you add drones to the issue, and so they're eventually going to have to do something. What's the downside is that usually means more regulation. But real quick, G, on your point for the helicopter. So in the Navy, at least, I know that we go to school. I turned it down. I said I had no interest to go to school to control helos. I forget. People, it's been 30 years since I left the military. I don't even remember what the school was called or what the training was called. But it's a specialized training, and you control helos. It's done in the military. And, yes, the military is always on a different freak. So, again, G and I aren't saying this, this, or this. We're saying these are questions we have. And people don't run and speculate if you don't know, you know. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. That's what we're, it's human nature. But we're the first to tell you. We have a lot of questions, but we don't know what the bleep. But G is correct. There's different freaks. There's different air traffic controllers for military aircraft. So it begs the question, okay, because my first thought, G, was like, okay, if you're going in that convoluted airspace, there's got to be an intermediary somewhere that's able to talk to both, or they check in with both, or there's got to be some type of comm. So hopefully we will find out. Supposedly, G, a preliminary report is expected within 30 days. Now, here's the thing about, again, you TDSers out there, Trump is pushing this through. Now, Trump, I don't agree with all the statements he said, but that's Trump being Trump. But the thing I'm noticing, there's a different energy. There's not this energy of, yeah, we're gonna investigate. It's like boom, boom, boom. They're on the ball with this. Your thoughts on? Do you sense that too, G?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he wants to be open and honest with the American people about this. I don't agree with him just jumping on the DEI bandwagon so quickly. I mean, now that's just opening him up and opening our side up to, hey, you know, you're just going to blame everything on DEI or potentially blame everything on minorities. I don't think it's ever going to be provable. Even if this person was a minority, it would not be provable that DEI led to this. So should we do away with DEI? Yes. But I don't think we should blame it because you can't prove. Let's say it's a brown Indian guy like me. Like maybe I just made a mistake, but I'm fully competent. So you're just going to jump on the bandwagon and say it's DEI because I'm a brown Indian guy and I got the job. So I don't think it's ever going to be provable as far as that goes.
Right, right. I think if you put a gun to our heads here, what do you – I mean, just looking at it just – and we're not holding you to it, but in your mind, who do you think – I don't want to say who's at fault, but where do you think it went wrong? Just looking at what we know now.
I think the understaffing, as we know, government people, their jobs are super secure, so you tend to get lazy at your job. I'm not talking government only, but even corporate people get lazy at their job. They start taking things for granted. So you get that part of the equation, can I go home early because I want to rest? And it's like, yeah, no problem. Nothing ever happens here. You got the military helicopter who's flying a little too high possibly, and we don't know what happened there. I don't think anyone on the passenger jet has any pilot or anybody, any of the crew has any issue here because they're just landing, right? They don't know what's going on. So their job is just to be told, you know, to land as they were told by the air traffic controller. So that's my take. I think there's going to just be a little bit of blame everywhere, and there's no real silver bullet on any one person.
Right, right, right. No, I get it. My take is simple. Look, I agree with you. I actually went through a transition job with the VA after I got out that, you know, when you're looking for a gig, they allow you to work there. And those are the laziest and the worst workers I've ever worked with. They knew they were on the government payroll. They didn't work. They'd average a few hours of work a day. So that's my anecdotal experience. I also know when you're in those heels, there can be a lot of joking around. It all depends on that non-com, you know, how serious and how core it is. So we don't know. I don't view anything with a plane, only because theoretically, he's just landing. So the fact that we have 100 feet higher in altitude. And then my producer, you said it was a newscopter failure in New York City. I just looked it up as we were talking. There's annually 1 to 2 crashes of helos. You add drones, more helos, everything. This is becoming, I can't remember what movie it was, one of those future sci-fi, and they show the city, and you see everything moving, the cars in the air.
The Star Wars, Coruscant. I mean, but they were like at different altitudes, right? So they're...
Yeah, exactly. So we are starting to reach that point because Dulles, or not, I keep saying Dulles, that's what it was called before it was renamed Ronald Reagan Airport, but that's a hub of America and VIPs, and there's maybe not as much traffic coming out of, say, New York City or San Francisco and all that, but the importance of the people, not to denigrate any American, we're all equal, but the importance of the people making decisions that affect our lives are there. So something's going to have to be done there. Any final words here, G, before we move on?
No, my hearts go out to those who are lost and the families of those who are lost, and it's a tragedy. I just remember back on September 11th, 2001, I got this notification on my desktop that there was a plane that crashed, and it felt very similar to that this time around. I got it immediately, and I turned on the TV, and I was just kind of glued to it for the next 5-6 hours. So
I was glued.
My last words on this.
I'll never forget the 9/11. I'm looking at the TV and the Fox reporter's talking, and I'm screaming at the TV, and I'm screaming at my wife, the building's shaking. It's gonna, the second one was on the verge, and they're talking something else, you know, some other tragedy. I'm like, you're looking at shaking, sure enough. Oh, Bob, we gotta, oh, something's happening in this building, you know, day late, dollar short, you know, not that it would have mattered. Like, yeah, it was a crazy. I actually, if I had not had my business and had not had been involved in getting my business going, because I was saying my wife, you know, it brought out the patriotism and wanting that I wanted to re up. And I'm like, oh, my age, you know, yeah, it's not going to work. All right. I say so casually now, but it was serious stuff there. I went through a lot of contemplation on that point. All right, everybody. Dems trade brains for bites, a comedy show of Senate hearings. The Senate confirmation hearings for Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. took place on January 30th, 2025, with Kennedy having his first session on the 29th. And the focus of the hearings revolved around the nominees' controversial past statements. And they all have controversial past statements, the most being RFK, because he's a double-edged sword. He is uber successful and has literally won more lawsuits than you can count against Big Pharma, but he's also a hero to people who believe autism may cause or vaccines may cause autism. So with Tulsi Gabbard, the atmosphere was a clear partisan divide, except for Gabbard, where there were Republicans who also ganged up on her. Democrats focused on disqualifying the nominees based off their public records and views, and Republicans, they didn't necessarily downplay them as much as they would give them time to speak their piece. Because Democrats don't understand. The pendulum has shifted. People look at them now and go, good, give them a chance to talk. Give them a chance to talk. They're seen as I don't know if hyperbolic is the proper word. Hell, I don't even know what that means. Sounds good though there. they were just like on edge. They were like on the verge, like, I voted for the guy. He's a nut job. That's how they were in attacking them. And with Patel, it was his loyalty to Trump and his potential per Democrat. You're going to politicize the FBI. And I'm like, that ship sailed 8 years ago or 12 years or 4 years ago, rather. Gabbard, it was her foreign policy stances, particularly on Russia and Syria, and her stance on intelligence issues, specifically Snowden. And as I stated with Kennedy Jr., was his anti-vaccine talk. And they tried to get him on understanding health policy, but the truth of the matter is, RFK knows more health policy than all those senators put together. We're going to talk about my favorite one. I can't even remember her name, but, you know, the science is wrong at times. And then 30 seconds later, the science is settled. And I'm like, you have just given women a bad name. Gee, your thoughts on based on what I said and what your thoughts are on those three individuals.
No, I mean, so Trump is trying to do what JFK did. He's trying to create Camelot, right? It's his advisors that are loyal to him, and it's his dream team, right? So the Republicans, like I said in the beginning, Republicans and Democrats already staked out their lines, with the exception of maybe, because these are the people who really do matter, with the exception of maybe four Republicans, right? You need to keep all... You know, you can maybe lose two Republicans. So they came in there and they knew exactly what they need angles, right? They need to like dig into these people's backgrounds. And when they're kind of the outsiders of their party, right? The Gabbard is kind of the outsider, was trying to get traction in the 2019 primary for president. You got to say more controversial and outlandish things to get traction. Big John will love this statement. Libertarians also need to be a little outlandish, right? They need to grab attention. So they got to say things like RFK has done and say things about vaccines that, you know, capture the media attention, but he probably doesn't really mean it 100% like he says it. So, they came in there with their attack lines, and I'm not sure that it will matter for most of these people.
Our Big John, our producer, he wasn't saying that RFK is libertarian. He was saying libertarians need to be like that at times. Gee, I got news for you. That ship sailed when the guy went up there with the Speedos. And some of the comments they've said about, a line of coke or whatever. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but you go, little one, I'm there with you, you know. I'm being over the top. I mean, and the late, great John McAfee. I mean, no more words need to be spoken. You know, one of the heroes. You know, as much what the bleep here. Hey, you. As much as you rag on.
First of all, you're blowing out the speakers. You gotta lower your voice. Use your calm voice, William. Use your calm voice.
As much as y'all rag on Trump, it just hit me. Mr. Speedos, Mr. McAfee, and God bless Mr. Vermin. He quote tweeted us today. And Vermin Supreme, you know? Y'all be ragging on my man Trump with those characters in the House comments before I boot you off.
Well, first of all, those characters haven't been in the House since 2016, so it's been a while since they've been in the House. But, you're right. Listen, the thing that I noticed about these confirmation hearings, if you just want my quick two cents, is especially with Gabbard and RFK, let's not forget, they were part and parcel of the Democratic Party up until summer 2024, essentially. I mean, especially with RFK. Gabbard, you could argue maybe she started to transition a little bit earlier. But RFK was literally shopping his voting block to anybody who would take him. He came to the Libertarian Party. He went back to the Democrats. They stupidly rejected him because, despite everything else, he's more of a Democrat than a Republican, right?
Correct.
Same thing with Gabbard. So to G's point, there are going to be Republican senators in there who were old-timer Republicans who are going to be like, okay, wait a second. Why do I have to be nice to a Democrat here? I know Trump put him up, but why am I ignoring the fact that RFK was on heroin for 14 years and he's trying to tell me he knows what's best for people's health? Why the guy said something about there's AIDS for black people and AIDS for white people. Like, these are, and you could tell in certain
No, he didn't say that. He said there's
no, they quoted him on that. And he said, I don't recall saying that, right? And he said, well,
I saw the whole thing, and I don't remember that. I remember him when they said, he said there's blacks don't need certain vaccines because their body genetics.
Oh, that was entirely, that was a different conversation. Yeah, like, you have to understand, Kennedy has a very pronounced history with this stuff.
Right.
So no matter what you feel about him now, and as you've been often saying, William, I really don't like the guy at all. Despite being a libertarian or whatever, I don't like him because of his stance on vaccines and their relations to autism and things like that.
Right.
But the guy has a very clear history, and unlike most other politicians, he can't hide from them because he's made a fortune via his law firm suing people with these outrageous claims. And a lot of them, people think.
Hold on. You say outrageous, but he's won. You don't.
Well,
win.
He's won, not on science, though. Like a lot of those.
Hold on, you're giving a blanket statement. I will grant you this. Maybe somebody's won that may not be on the science that we know. Yeah. Maybe stuff. See, that's my issue here. I know who RFK is. He's a Democrat. You know, I want him there to shake things up. And look, I've been a health guy my whole life. I mean, and gee, you work out. You're an older guy. You look great. Ladies, he's married, but he looks freaking great. You know, and
I look great and I don't move at all. I'm sedentary. Look at me. I don't lift weights. I don't do nothing. I don't exercise like you guys. I don't use essential oils. None of that.
But my point is this, is I immediately, when I started getting into the health kick in the 80s, my first thought when I started reading these articles, the science says, is I'm like, hold on. I just intuitively realized this isn't what the pyramid says. And that's when I started. That was my beginning. So I know, as I said, autism, and we're not going to get into it, but I know, Big John, you always reference something from the 60s. My issue is
well, not from the 60s. Not from the 60s. God, no. Not from the 60s.
Well, my issue is this. My issue is this, and we're going to move on. We'll boot you off, Big John. When we grew up, when all three of us grew up, there were 4 to 6 vaccines. I can't remember how many. Then in the late 80s, they blew it up, and now there's close to 70. And my take is like, let's just slow down here, is because I do believe vaccines do work, but I also believe some may not work. Case in point is COVID. We all now know, regardless of whether we believed it or not early on, you can still catch COVID by taking the vaccine, and that's not what they were promoting. And children are – the risks outweigh – what is it, Big John? You're better at this. It's lesser –
The risk outweighs the reward or the preventative measures.
They're better off not taking a shot is what it boils down to. And they want to make it one of the mandatory vaccines. So I'm like, whoa, let's take a stop here. So I'm willing to give them that. But somebody who want – we are – it turns out that we are the nation with the most deaths. And when they asked the CDC, and this came out in the hearings, CDC said, well, because we're the most unhealthy, you know. And, you know, ironically, my wife and I, we eat processed foods only on cheat day. And that's because my wife loves those damn chips, and I have an addictive personality. Oh, God, you know. But it's like I just made a big old batch of homemade beans, just made a big old batch of beef stew, whole brown rice. That's how a turkey. Tomorrow I'm going to make turkey soup. So I do all that. And I didn't realize, damn, I am the exception. And Big John, I know you prepare your meals every day, you know. So we do have a problem because I see more and more fat kids over, and I just shake my head. So from there, I'll give you some credit. Big John, I'm going to – if you want to stick around, that's fine. Do you want to stick around?
No. You kind of brought me on here shockingly, right. So I'm happy being thrown off until you need me again.
All right, brother. Okay, so let's start with Jay RFK. He was going to be the last one, but let's keep going on him. Let me scroll down to my notes here. And gee, I had Marco Rubio there. That was a screw up there. Don't ignore that on my notes. Going to RFK, Kennedy's view on vaccines, his anti-vaccine activism, and his understanding of healthcare policy were central to the discussions. His hearings were contentious. The chair, he's a senator from Louisiana who is a doctor. I forget his name and I apologize to the audience, but he's a Republican. He's not really for Kennedy right now, despite the fact that Paul Rand corrected the doctor. The doctor tried to lay it on, about the hepatitis vaccine. Well, you know, this, and Rand Paul jumped in. Yeah, but 99.9% or something like that don't need it. You're talking about that 1%. You know, he kind of shut him down. And he was doing what he was accusing RFK of doing in that moment. You know, your thoughts before I ask you about Sanders and some of the other individuals.
No, I mean, I think, when RFK was an outsider, he has no power. You got to say things that cause the people in power to question, right? And that's how things start. I mean, I know you're going to get into the science part of it, but, you know, if you want to challenge common thought, you have to say something controversial and gain support for that. Just even look at it. And so, you know, I don't know exactly what he said about hepatitis vaccines or whatnot, but I do know, like, do we have to give 70 vaccines to a child in their first year of life, or can we can we string that out a little longer? Over a little longer?
Right.
And I think that's a valid question. RFK will bring something like that to that. So, no, I think it's okay for RFK to question. But once he gets into power, and I think this is what the senators are making sure of, once he gets into power and he's in charge of that department, don't abuse your power to advance your agenda. Like, continue to question, but look at the science as well.
Correct. And it's Dr. Bill Cassidy. And obviously, John Kennedy is the other Louisiana, but it's, and he was the chair. And he actually, I mean, and to his credit, he's one, he's probably the only one out of all three of these candidates who I truly believe, when he says, I got a lot of thinking to do about this because I want to support Trump. But I don't want to see his legacy tarnished. And I'm like, well, if Trump's picking them, then who the bleep are you to talk about his legacy, you know? So let's get to Sanders real quick.
There will be 11:30 p.m. call from President Trump. Talking to these guys saying, hey, you need to vote for my guy. I'll bet you.
Is a gastroenterologist. Do you know what that is? Big John, you know what a gastroenterologist is? What is it?
That's for the GI tract, right? Stomach all the way down to
the colon. He's a gut doctor, which actually plays into a lot of the supposed theories of the causes of autism, that it starts out as a gut imbalance. And there's a lot of theories that that's where it starts from. So actually, specifically to autism vaccine, the connection between autism and vaccine, he might actually be someone who has some knowledge of it. But yeah, that's what gastroenterologists do. They're gut doctors.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now, he has been out of medicine, though, since 1990. He may read up and all that but and may have a better understanding, but he hasn't practiced since 1990 when he joined the faculty at LSU. Is that, and for the record, people, Dr. Fauci never practiced medicine. He went straight into bureaucratic work. He's never had an actual patient outside of the people he killed with AZT for a buck. Allegedly. I got to throw that out. Trump's suing everybody. Okay, so two things on Bernie Sanders that came out. No. I saw that question coming. I have not taken money from any pharmaceuticals. So he lied. He is taking money from pharmaceutical workers to the tune of million. And that's not a lot of money with 200 million. But the point is, he tries to portray himself as his man of the people. What he doesn't tell people is PACs were supporting him too. Meaning they didn't give him money. They just campaigned on his behalf. You know, so he was a bit deceptive. So, and Kent, the only reason we know it's 1.5 million is he's the hot most, he's taking the most money, in terms of 1.5 million. And these are single donations. People, y'all are thinking, well, what are you talking about? That's not a lot of money. Individual donations, that's buku money. That's buku money. But in Bernie's defense, it also shows the power of his campaign because he raked in tens of millions to the people. But 1.5 million, the reason I bring that up, I do know like in third world countries, and I would suspect in certain cases it has happened here, people will pay somebody to donate money under their name. Hey, yeah, give them $500, and they give the guy $500. So that happens a lot, and I would suspect that happened. And CEOs of big pharma companies gave him money. So he got busted on that. And two, gee, he was complaining to RFK to take down – RFK is no longer associated with this nonprofit, but they were selling a baby's onesies about anti-vax or something like that, and he was demanding he call them up to take it down. I mean, what the hell? First of all, he's a socialist. You know Bernie's a socialist. But, I mean, that's what he wants to bring the America's attention? I mean, to me, that exuded the silliness of some of these senators.
Yeah, and I think another part of the whole thing is, you know, you never question a man's opinion when his income depends on it, right?
Yeah.
So if Kennedy was on the board of the Children's Health Defense, or I believe he was on the board of it, well, if they have a certain message, he has to follow along because, you know, presumably he's getting paid some amount, so he's not going to outright, you know, contradict who's, you know, bite the hand that's feeding him. But at the same time, maybe he changed his mind. So, you know, I believe what matters is Kennedy's opinion now, right? He clarified his support for vaccines. He said he's got no control over the organization that he was a part of, that what they're doing now. And, he, you know, he's promised to stay on track with good science. And if vaccines are good vaccines and are based on good science, then sure, why not? You referenced the COVID vaccine earlier. I mean, it did give some immunity, immune response to the S-spike protein of the coronavirus. But at the same time, we don't know what else it did to the body. I mean, people have had long-term issues with that vaccine. And, you know, we were shut down on that to raise any questions about it. And it's okay to, you know, ask questions. I mean, right now, I think in England, there's a doctor or PhD looking into a spike in cancers. And it happened right around the same time as the vaccines came out. So does that mean the COVID vaccine caused these cancers? We don't know yet. But let's ask the question, let's research and come up with an answer, right? So I hope Kennedy goes down that route and stays true to science.
Right, right. And with the COVID now they admit, yes, they are, and I don't know if I'm saying it right, but myocarditis issues, you know, yep. With individuals, you know. Man, for me, it's like I've been following sports since I was a child, and then I did it for a business for a living for a long while. And I'm like, I have never seen that many players around the world who are premier world-class athletes dropping as they were, you know. Oh, yeah, it happens with him. Not that many times, you know. Let's stay on the science thing. Quote, sometimes science is wrong. We make progress. We build on the work and we become more successful. And when you continue to sound doubt about settled science, it makes it impossible to move forward. Senator Maggie Hassan, who gave the term shrew brand new meaning. And women, I'm not knocking you. I'm just telling you that's how she came across. She's a problem when you have an actual situation that's happened in your life. We all feel for it, but when you use it as a weapon and then you come across shrewish, eyes begin to roll. So Miss Maggie Hassett, Senator, you didn't help your cause. You didn't help yourself. You looked a fool. Gee, please give us some examples here of the so-called settled science not being so settled.
It's not a lot about consensus, right? Like around global warming, right? There's consensus because everyone who's getting paid by their universities, they need to tout that party line. I mean, but we can go back hundreds of years and talk about, let's say, the Earth was circled by the sun, right? The Earth was the center of the universe. Until Copernicus and Galileo, they came out and said, no, we challenge that idea. And the church, for some reason, the Catholic Church, pushed back against that. And a lot of scientists as well during that time pushed back against that. Or the idea of spontaneous generation, right? The belief that life could emerge from non-living matter was disproven by Pasteur's experiments. And that shows that life only comes from life, and we know that. I mean, we just look at what's observable out there. And that's, I mean, I'm glad all my ancestors going back thousands of years survived, because I wouldn't be here if just one of them, I mean, hit the dust early, right?
Galileo was, you mentioned the church there, and real quick for the audience, he was tried during the Inquisition by the Inquisition, was found guilty of heresy, spent the last years of his life under house arrest. This is kind of what they were trying to do to us with COVID, wasn't it?
Their way of cancel culture.
Yeah, and remember the coelacanth, people thought that what fish was extinct. Lo and behold, that fish was not extinct. The science was settled. That's an extinct species. No, it wasn't. You know, it's like the science is never settled. I remember that in college. You know, hypotheses or theories always get me confused. But, you know, you build on it, you do it, and until somebody can disprove that, most will go with that, and that'll become the settled science until something else comes around to disprove it. Physics. I don't know anything about physics, but I do know in reading stories in layman terms, when they read, you're watching a movie, you're reading a book, it brings up the examples of how the old way this was believed in this new technology. So we're still at the infancy of science because of technology. So, yes. So, and again, that's why I'm like, we got to take a step back with 70 some odd vaccines. Maybe they're all necessary, but probably not all at once. So, and I don't know what causes autism, but I would not be shocked if they found, well, it's not the vaccines causing autism. It's a combination of 70 vaccines at once causing or given in 3 days that causes it. We don't know. That's what I want to find out for the kids. Yeah. I did not realize, gee, we took less than 10 when we were kids.
I think about the Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it was like a cocktail of vaccines since I was born. I believe, I just look at what my kids got, and I didn't question it. Maybe I should have, but they're fine. But, you know, you look back at the COVID vaccine, we were all put under Twitter and Facebook house arrest to not say anything about those vaccines, even though there was maybe 1 year's worth of science on it. I mean, the clinical trials were us.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on here over to Tulsi. Tulsi was hammered because of Snowden. My take on Snowden is simple. If he got one person killed, then fuck him. And I do mean that crassly and roughly because, hey, I thought Ross Ulbricht should have been given a pardon. I think other people who are whistleblowers should be given a pardon. You know, I will grant you that Snowden didn't sell it to the highest bidder, but that crossed his thoughts, I know. You know, so he just stole a bunch of crap and said it, and he didn't even know what he took. So it wasn't like he was on a mission. He just said, here's this department file. I disagree with what they're doing, and took it all. He was like a bludgeon. And we don't know. Or I don't know if he got any of our troops killed, but if he did, then no, he is a traitor. If he didn't, and that is my line right there. That, you know, and people who look at his numbers, really, fuck you too. Because when something happens to your kid, you're the first one to whine like a little bitch about your kid. But when it happens to somebody else's, you're okay with that. You know, free Snowden, free Snowden. And that's just in general to all these people. So if Snowden, if any of that put our troops in harm's way, then screw him. And I sound crass and crude and very say the rest, but that's how strong I feel about this. We go out on these philosophical discussions, and you forget. People may have died. You know, just like the guy Bradley, whatever his name was. You know, he's a woman now. You know, your thoughts, right. Chief.
No, I mean, like Snowden aside, getting Tulsi to say, is Snowden a traitor? I mean, you look at, okay, which movement in this past maybe two presidential elections was the populist movement? It was the Trump movement. It was the power to the people and down with all the ones in power. And that they're the ones who are going to be more pro-Snowden, more pro-information, let's be more open with things. But I agree with you. Like, you can't be open with everything. I mean, you can't say, okay, well, here's our troops. So if you want to lob a kamikaze drone against them, here are the coordinates, because we want to be open with everyone about what we're doing. No, that's too open. But when you're looking at, you know, the ones in power and how they abuse your power and, you know, who went to Epstein's Island, I mean, you know, we still want to know that.
Yes,
we're not
yes.
getting that. And that kind of stuff, I think, is important. When there's abuse of people and children, you know, so calling Snowden a traitor just for everything – well, maybe he was a traitor on some things and maybe not on others, right?
Right. So here's my take, and I will never defend a politician, but I will defend the issue. When I was in the military, again, I was on a spook ship. I had a secret clearance. I saw things. And certain things people aren't meant to know, not because they're dastardly evil. It's like, you don't need the enemy to know that. The enemy did not need to know where we were at on a spook ship because we were always in foreign waters, you know,
and it's open game, right? It's open game.
Yes, looking- yes. We broke, in the military, they call it broke dick. We broke dick. Our engines broke down. And we're floating into Nicaraguan waters. And sure enough, you look over, there's a gunboat with a guy with a rocket launcher. And we're like, so I jokingly said to my buds, raw nervous. I go, dude, y'all screwed. And he's like, whoa, what are you talking about? They're going to need translators. That's me. But so I will defend, I will not defend the senators. I will bring this up to the audience. Every senator seems to be in alignment. So there may be something that none of us as average Americans know that he may have given up, maybe part of that package of information that may have affected something. Because, gee, the body energy, they were not happy with Tulsi. We're talking both sides. Final comments before we go to or real quick, Michael Bennett, Democrat, jumped on her, wouldn't give her a chance to talk. Warner did too. But James Lankford really kind of hammered her, and he's a Republican. He's a bit rhino-ish conservative, meaning he'll go rhino-ish at times, conservative at others. I have a love-hate relationship with him. Ugly-looking fellow, but great voice. That's great radio voice, you know. But he just hammered her. He pressed her for clarity, and you're right. A lot of them were like, why won't you call him a traitor? And it was obvious her, Patel, and RFK would not succumb to certain things. And I actually applaud them for that. You know, your take on Lankford and others, Suzanne Collins was another one who went at her that are Republicans.
No, I mean, you know, it revolved around the Snowden idea, and I think they wanted her to say he's a traitor. And it's, you know, I think her answer was it's not so black and white. And it's the same thing with Trump. Like, you got the Democrats who want to say, is Trump Hitler? Tell me he's Hitler, then I know you're on my side. Or you got some Republicans, not all Republicans, but some saying, well, he's the next incarnation of Reagan. Like, well, can I be a little more nuanced than that? Like, can I be somewhere in the middle of those two extremes? I mean, obviously he's a very pivotal figure in our history, but he's not a Reagan. So I think pushing Tulsi Gabbard to say he's a traitor, say he's a traitor, and then force her to take a side, and then now she has to be boxed in, you know, I think they're just trying to play a game, right? Like I said in the beginning, they're trying to push her into a corner. And I think some of the Republicans are doing that with her. So I don't know if she's going to get confirmed.
Right. That's why they look bad. People watch it. Well, isn't this supposed to be a discussion, questions back and forth? They're not letting her answer. They're trying to force her to say something she may or may not believe. You know, I thought they came out looking bad. It depends on how it shifted. All right. Cash Patel. This is my favorite guy here. I love Cash Patel. Why? Because he's like an FU. But he's at RFK and Tulsi. And Tulsi, sir, God bless her. But Cash Patel is like Mr. Super Secret Thunderbird spy. You know, I can picture his character in Team America, you know. He just has that gravitas because he's very unlikable to the left and rhinos because he speaks his mind and here's what they hate. He's speaking truth to power. And now he may talk and everything that he says, I agree with, but to make it better, he has actually done missions. He's done things where he's put his life on the line. He's defended his brethren, FBI agents. I mean, he's been on the front lines and he's the VIP, you know, the guy who's moved up the chain. So he's seen it from both sides. And that, I think, makes a man who is a senator. It makes him, I don't know what the term is, but they're not a man when they're in the same room with Cash. There's the guy who's done it all. All you are is a little pissant senator who got elected. You don't really have the gravitas that he does. And I think there's some of that jealousy. That's a minor thing, but I sense that too. They don't like him because he's got the gravitas to back it up. Senator Little Dick Durbin. Yes, I said him. He hates him. It's obvious. He was trying, and Patel pushed back. You know, Durbin challenged Patel on Trump's pardons, and Patel responded carefully, stating his opposition to violence. But he also brought up pardons that Biden did, you know, so he wasn't afraid to get in there. Amy Klobuchar, what is it with these women? They weren't as bad as they were with Pete Hegseth, but two women. It's time to move on and get fresh blood up there. Y'all lost out on Tulsi Gabbard. I may not be a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard, but there was your Democrat powerful woman that didn't start screaming at 10 octaves high. And she made you women look bad. She went over time, 3 minutes, and that became an issue. So Patel defended his work. You know, she's pulled stuff out of his book. It's stuff in the book was Patel be Patel. That's what I love. It's like, you can't, there was no way to backtrack from that, G. And he stood up and he didn't say, I said it, but he kind of backed it up. And then the final one before I get your comment, and this is on all three of them outside of Tulsi, which makes you wonder. She probably wasn't on that committee. But where was Mazie Hirono when Senator Dick Unwau, or not Dick Unwau, but Senator Unwau, the guy who passed away, Senator, was her mentor, sexually assaulted his hairdresser and had charges? Where was her? Where was she to complain about him? Her question, have you ever had sexual relations with anybody? I wish somebody would go, yeah, I like your daughter. Your thoughts on these? I'm kidding, people. I'm trying to be mean towards Serrano because she's a vile, evil, useless. She brings down the IQ of government by 100 points. Gee, your thoughts.
No, this is one guy who I think he said things to shake up the scene out there. as an outsider, and then as an insider, he will also continue to be that way, right? And people are going to accuse him of, oh, you're just having a vendetta. You're getting back at so-and-so or that person or that person. But he's going to reassign a lot of these people back to the streets. I mean, they're not going to sit in the cushy jobs. They don't need that many paper pushers. You're going to be out there back on the streets and doing the dirty, hard work. And I think he's going to bring efficiency to the government. And what they're going to say is, well, you're just getting retribution. You don't like these people or you don't like that person because he's part of the deep state, which I do believe in a deep state, not as a big conspiratorial aspect like, hey, let's get together and create this deep state. No, it's more of a bunch of people who think this certain way. And then they say, hey, we don't agree with what the guys above us are doing. So let's try to subvert them in legal ways, in passive aggressive, but legal ways. And that's what the deep state is. It's just putting roadblocks so that, one, they don't get in trouble, but two, the ones who want to get things done like Kash Patel or Trump, they're unable to get those things done because they face this resistance of, hey, I want you to go do that. And then 2 months later, did you go do that? And they're like, I was busy. I forgot.
He will end that. Really? Okay, you're fired. You're fired. Exactly. I think we're going to see more "you're fired" than we ever saw on The Apprentice. All right, before we move on to our final topic, RFK Jr., does he make it through?
I think RFK Jr. will make it. I think all three of these will make it through.
Really? Yes. I see Tulsi not making it through right away. That she may not make it through, and Trump's not going to nominate somebody. He's just going to go with the number two and put Tulsi de facto in charge. Trump has had enough without Trump. And you can actually run those places without the top head. There's ways to do it, you know? So
I think he'll call. I mean, he made the promises, right? They helped him get elected. He'll call these senators, and he only needs one or two back on board and say, what do you want? That's how politics goes. It will never change. It's been that way for thousands of years. What do you want? You give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. And there will be some 11:59 p.m. call that makes it happen.
I agree. I think if anything sways him, it's going to be Elon and now Nicole Shanahan. I didn't know she was a billionaire. I guess she's a billionaire. They're going to primary. And when you get primary focuses on these individuals, they will shake because it's a different thing with – average Joe Bill, we're going to primary you. And they got a few thousand people. Yeah, whatever. But when Elon Musk and Nicole Shanahan says we're going to primary you, it's like they're going to go pick their candidate, and that candidate is going to have a bigger war chest than you. And within
especially if RFK does not get confirmed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Especially if that.
All right. Let's move on. The Twilight Zone, G, from crossing the U.S. border. Out of the back. What? Guantanamo Bay. So Trump has stated that he's going to use Guantanamo Bay to house illegal immigrants. Trump has stated there are 30,000 beds available at Guantanamo Bay, intended for what he describes as the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. In a nutshell, we are seeing a repeat. We're not going to spend too much time because this is a basic cut and dry issue that's going to be more platitudes by the left. So the facility will be managed by ICE. They would have to expand it for 30,000, but they have the ability to have 30,000. But the real issue here that I have, the reason I want to talk about it is President Ken Linton used Guantanamo Bay in the 1990s to detain Haitian and Cuban migrants, including ones that specifically were HIV positive. You know, so there was minimal, if any, outcry then. In fact, it was more humanitarian. President Clinton, you going to make sure they's taken care of there? I'm going to send Monica down there. They'll be taken care of. You know, so that's all they cared about. With Trump, it's oh, my God, the world's ending. I myself, I'm okay with it. It's just another facility, you know, and they're going to have their own. They're still going to have rights. We went through this with the terrorists. The terrorists were deemed to have rights. All this has been played out. It's just a different set of going from terrorists to illegals. And let's be honest, there's some terrorists amongst those illegals.
Yeah, and I would say that if you're here committing crimes against our people, you're an enemy combatant. So, I mean, obviously we want to deport you, but I think the bigger driving force behind this, and this is just my opinion, is not necessarily, well, you know, we want to take him out of the 4-star Hilton in New York City and put him in a 1-star hotel in Gitmo. I think the idea is that, well, Mexico and Colombia both said, no, don't bring him back to our country. We don't want them anymore. And I think Trump's like realizing, oh, well, that's a problem if we can get him out of this country. But if their countries don't want to take him back, where do we put them? So I think he's trying to solve that problem. And so that, you know, I think that's the genesis of the idea. But then, you know, if there's a serial killer that's out there, I mean, and we bring him back to Tijuana and then he comes right back across the border and continues killing again, I think we got to figure out what to do. And exactly. I hate the fact that we're paying their room and board, but we don't want them killing people too. Life matters.
Exactly. And for the audience, I glossed over, but there's the historical context and allegations. They're going to argue human rights, but these human rights have been contested. They also argue the narrative of Guantanamo Bay as a place of systemic abuse. All of this has been argued, and solutions and resolutions have taken place with legal and humanitarian oversight. The detainees will keep their rights, and that's based off they're going to retain the rights like habeas corpus that came through the Bo Medine versus Bush court case. You're going to have access to legal counsel. So they're getting more than what I believe an illegal should get. I don't believe an illegal should have any rights. They should be put in jail to wait for their deportation. So the proposal has sparked outcry, G, from the Cuban government. Let's not forget that those nice Cuban officials murdered millions of people and had their own quarantines there. Give me a few seconds of your comments on the hypocrisy of that.
No, I mean, that, you know, they're in a country where they want to make everyone equally miserable and poor.
So they are going to have to expand Guantanamo Bay, the logistics in that. But here's the kicker. We may save money by putting them there versus putting them in those 5-star hotels. And they'll be better taken care of. They'll have their time to go play for exercise, 3 square meals. They're actually taken care of very well because of the humanitarian oversight. So you can see the media make a lot of hay out of this, but over 70 million people voted for this. You know, so, and again, some historical context here, G. In the early 1990s, President Bill Clinton used it to detain Haitian and Cuban immigrants. We're sending you back to the island, but you ain't going to the island. You go to jail on our side of the island. You know, so, and the Haitians came after the 1991 coup in Haiti. There may be more Haitians there because the president of Haiti, I believe, said it will be tantamount catastrophe if you send us our illegals back. So what he's saying is y'all got the worst of the worst. Don't give it back to us. And so this will, I think, be a blip on the screen, but because it's all settled science, there won't be much on it. Any final words, G, before we close out the show?
No, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with this, but, you know, details are yet to be given. But again, like, you know, Biden brought over migrants from Haiti, put them up in 5-star hotels, gave them a food card, and they didn't have to work for months and months and months.
Hold on. I mean, I want you to keep going, but do not forget the most important thing. He gave them a city.
Right. Yeah. No, and so this is just a smaller 1-star version of that. And, like, this has to be justified and in a great way. You've got to say why we're doing this and not just bringing them back to their country of origin, whether that's Venezuela or Guatemala or wherever they came from. Why are we just not bringing them back there? But that is a problem. If you fly a plane of people are deported and that government doesn't let them disembark the plane, you got a problem. And I know Trump has the problem. So I think that's the genesis of this, and we'll see what happens here in the next coming weeks. I'm sure we'll bring this topic up again.
Right. I think this, people may call it bullyism or what, but when we've been pushed to press, I think it's okay to use our economic might as he did with Colombia, you know.
And it worked.
Yeah, between his mistress, the transgender he's been seen with, and the illegals there, he came to a quick decision. And with that, my friends, thank you for listening. It's been a great show. We had a lot of fun with the Senate panel. Our hearts go out to the families, the 67 individuals who died and the families associated with them on the DC, collision. We don't know what's happening there yet. So let's just take a step back and hold off before we come to a resolution. All we can hope for is that positive changes. You can't stop this training. One accident like this should not stop the defense of our country by training our military. And again, if you're for any of these candidates, Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel, or RFK Jr., email or write your senator and make sure that will push the needle. And thank you, Bill Clinton, not for Monica, but for paving the way to Hotel Guantanamo. And before I forget, do not forget to like and share this podcast. And you can find this podcast as well as my Red, White, and Rude, which is my culture podcast, and my Points on the Board, which is my sports podcast. And they're both intermixed with politics. You can find this and our other podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com as well as Rumble YouTube under the handle Grumblings Media, as well as traditional podcast outlets, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora, under the same profile handle Grumblings Media. For G. Mangani and Big John, our producer, I am William Del Pilar. This has been Fired Up, and until next week, we bid you adieu.